In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I have got the duty to keep a speech about the motto of the services. He is the joy of our heart. The theme is from the first psalm, and it is taken from the first book of Psalms, specifically the concluding verses of a hymn of praise. The psalmist of the Old Testament trusts in God's promises. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. In the New Testament, the Apostle reminds us that these promises have been fulfilled. Jesus is Lord, and we are our servants for Jesus' sake. This theme emphasizes the joy of believing. The motto expresses both the personal nature of faith and the unity among believers. Based on that, I have divided this speech into three themes: the joy of believing, the personal aspect of faith, and the fellowship of believers. In the emblem of these services, or motto of these services, the faces of the believers reflect joy because the Lord is present. He grants forgiveness of sins through the preaching of the gospel and brings comfort to the sorrowful. The gospel is offered both in service area and through various media to everyone. Both to those who have already believed and to the friends who has not yet come to faith. You may already, at the very beginning, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. What is the most important thing in our life? The most important thing is our life is to know our Savior, Jesus Christ, to become a child of God, shortly the faith, and to remain that in childship. Faith is firm trust in what is hoped for and assurance about what we do not see. We believe in things we cannot see, and yet we do not doubt. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Among the disciples, Thomas initially did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. As Noah was preaching a gospel and repentance, people kept his as a mad. But Noah received a duty from God, and he built up an ark. And Thomas, as Jesus appeared to disciples while Thomas was with them, at first he didn't believe, but when Jesus appeared to disciples while Thomas was with them, that he believed. Thomas needed to see and touch the nails marks in order to believe. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What do we believe in? We believe that there is only one God, one faith, and one baptism. This God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe, according to the words of the Creed, in God, O the Almighty, the Creator of all things, in Jesus, the Son of God, who died in our behalf and atoned for our sins. We believe in the Holy Spirit and the communion of saints. We believe that our sins are forgiven and that we will one day enter heaven. Why? We do believe. Or Mark answers that. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Salvation. So we are believing for eternal life. Is question about that big thing. Salvation is the eternal life in heaven. Eternal. A life with no toil, no pain, no sorrow, no grief. A life where everything is perfect. Have you ever thought about what heaven is like? I have many times. Our reason is enough. But the most important thing is that mine and yours name is a book of life that will be opened on last day. Come then. Condemnation means eternal separation from God, eternal suffering, pain, and distress. Again, something beyond our understanding, which one do not want? Heaven or condemnation? I think I know the answer, but it is good for you to consider this question. Also, these things is good to think about because there is an enemy that is drawing us through sin from the pathway of heaven to the way of condemnation. The joy of believing. Already in paradise, God announced to fallen mankind the good news, a promise of a gospel. The seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. The believers of the seed of woman is Jesus Christ. He crushed a head of serpent in the middle cross of Golgotha. He overtakes victory over death. The believers of the Old Testament placed their faith in that promise. But we, as believers of the new covenant, trust in the fulfilled word, the promise that was completed when Jesus was born. Jesus called people to repentance, forgave sins, and told his followers to rejoice, especially in the fact that their names are written in the book of life in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. The reason and source of our joy is not our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. In him we rejoice. For in ourselves there is little cause for joy. Joy is a fruit and result of faith. It is impossible to rejoice in God without first believing in him. Faith is such a great miracle that surely each of us should rejoice in. And most of the time we likely do. Yet sometimes faith may feel so ordinary that we grow numb to it. We may forget to be thankful and joyful for what we have received. Many things affect our mood, and those things may also reflect on our relationship with faith. But faith is not a burden for a child of God. It is a source of joy. One of the most powerful conversion stories that of Saul of Tarsus. He, once a persecutor of God's children, became, through the joy of repentance, a mighty preacher of God's word. Hearing God's word and the gospel gives rise to the joy of believing. A psalm of David says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Dear children of God, think about those words. I rejoiced when I heard the words. We are going to the house of the Lord. The psalmist is filled with joy at the prospect of joining the fellowship of believers. Do we, the believers of this time, always feel that the same as a psalmist did? Are we perhaps looking for experience and sources of joy outside of the services? This word offers many forms of stimulation and entertainment, which God's children may be tempted to pursue in the concert scene or in sport events. There is a danger that alternative cultural activities begin to be compete with the services of believers. The joy of believing is also evident in our desire to hear the word of God. The word that nourishes us, sustains joy, and even multiplies it. The core of the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. Grace and the joy it brings the things beyond human understanding. A person who has fallen into sin can have their conscience cleansed, and in place of sin comes the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in the believer's heart, and these fruits are visible in many ways. In such fruits is joy. One such fruit is joy. When joy shines from the heart, it becomes visible in others, both believers and unbelievers. How many times we have heard stories of situations where a believer's behavior has caught the attention of someone outside of the faith. I want to tell one example. We were within big amount of believing youth in one sport school, and there in same place were three or four other schools also, and we were there 4 days, and last day as we were shortly leaving and we were having a lunch, the cook, main cook of the chief of a kitchen, came and said that those your youth are like day and night, or that your youth are like day and other youth are like night. It touched, because we were not had any devotions or prayers or not even seeing anything, but it was shining from the face of believing youth. There was a calmness and peace and the joy of believing. So it is that we don't necessarily see it, but it is shining from the someone who have a peace in heart. And joy also causes a love toward other children of God. The joy of believing may even be visible when we greet one another with God's peace. The greetings is a confession. My relationship with God is well. I am a believer. How difficult it can be to greet others with God's peace when the conscience is hardened and the flame of faith is faint. The joy of believing is seen in obedience to the work of God's kingdom. It feels good to participate and serve in various areas of work according to one's own abilities. The psalm verse that serves as a service motto is part of a larger context. The psalmist, moved by joy, encouraged the people to sing a new song to the Lord. Praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him on the ten-stringed lyre, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and joy, shout for joy. Dearly listeners, God's children have always been a singing people. A sorrowful heart does not know how to sing, but let your joy be expressed through the singing and playing. Psalms were not commonly accompanied by lyre and harp, but other instruments were used as well, such as drums, trampolines, cymbals, trumpets, and horns. Faith gives birth to joy, but sin extinguishes it. Sin is the heart turning away from God. When the heart turns from God, the fruits of the Spirit, including joy, disappear from the heart. Just as joy is visible, so is lack of it. Misplaced focus, either ourselves or on other believers, can rob us of the joy of believing. Believers may feel troubled and distressed about the time we live in. Yet Paul, while imprisoned in Rome, wrote the letter to Philippians, a letter overflowing with joy, even as he was in chains. In the midst of persecution and hardship, God's children have rejoiced and refused to hide their joy. Jesus encouraged his followers to rejoice precisely when they are persecuted for confessing his name. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Luther teaches that joy is not found in silver or gold, not in overeating, drunkenness, pleasures or songs, not in power, health or friendship. True joy comes solely from the Lord and from his grace. Possessors of faith, we experience righteousness, peace, and joy in our hearts. These are signs of being a child of God. But so too are weakness in faith, temptations, and distress. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as other. Now is your time of grief, but I will see again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. John 16, verse 22. And when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his death, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. One day, we too will share in that same joy when we are brought to the land where the sun never sets. John writes in Revelation about the new heaven. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. We will only truly understand joy when we are home with Father in heaven. There, joy without tears. There, a tongue completely new. There, the bright room is seen without hindrance. Oh, what beauty! Song of Zion 2:4-6. Dear child of God, it pays to believe. We will sing one song and then continue. Personal faith. We hear God's voice in our conscience. It demands us to do what we know is right and forbids us from doing what we know is wrong. Have you heard people talk about the stewardship of conscience? It means keeping the conscience clean. And that is every individual's own responsibility. Faith is always personal. Do we believe only because we were born and raised in a believing home? Do we believe to please our parents, friends, or relatives? It is true that parents bring their children to Sunday school, Bible class, camps, and church gatherings and services. One day I planted an apple tree to my outyard. I make sure that soil is good. I put a lot of... I gave water and roots got nourishment and tree grew up and roots went deep in the ground. And now the apple tree is big one. Even storms can torn it from the ground. In this kind, tree is picture or image about our raising verb. As we raise our child, we want to root them into God's kingdom. We want to bring them to the Sunday school, Bible schools, services, that those roots would have nourishment. And the child-like faith, as it comes once personal, that it would be then such a, it would have better abilities to keep this tree standing on. Unbelieving word says that it is like brainwashing, but it is not. We parents want to protect our children from the evil of the world and accustom them to hearing the word of God. Confirmation school have often been seen as a time when faith starts to become more personal. When a young person begins to take greater responsibility for their own spiritual life. Personal faith means taking ownership of one's faith. On the one day of judgment, we are responsible for no one else's faith but our own. We cannot believe on behalf of others. We can pray, but we cannot believe for someone else. Not even parents can believe on behalf of their children. Faith is personal. It is important to reflect on one's own faith and ask oneself, am I truly believing in the right way? Am I among those who will hear the words of the last day? Come, you are blessed by my Father. I have heard people say, I know for myself what is right and wrong. I don't need anyone else's advice. But listen, when the conscience becomes hardened, it no longer warns against sin. The resident of the heart changes from the Holy Spirit to evil spirit. The enemy of the soul has only one task, to get you and me to deny our faith. The first signs appears when a person begins to live a double life, still attending the gatherings of God's children, but with a heart that has already turned away from faith. Think of the wheat and the tares. or the 10 virgins. One being to serve two masters. One begging to serve two masters, the prince of this world and Jesus Christ. It's as if walking between the road that leads to heaven and one that leads to destruction, as if there were a third path. Dear children of God, according to Psalm 1, there are only two paths, one that leads to eternal life and one that leads to eternal death. There is no third path. There is no road where one foot can walk toward heaven and the other toward destruction. Jesus warns, you cannot serve two masters. Personal faith must be cured. The Catechism encourages us to read and listen to Word, God's Word, to partake in Holy Communion and to pray. Dear child of God, it pays to believe. The fellowship of believers. Our Heavenly Father desires that we reach heaven. That is why He has given us the protection of the fellowship of congregation. God's word warns us not to take this lightly, to reject it. It urges us to stay firmly connected to the congregation of God, because the congregation is the body of Christ on earth. Christ is the head of this body. Remaining connected to the body is a matter of life and death for all its members. Jesus also compared him to a vine whose branches are tended by his Father. He instructed his followers to remain in a vine as living branches. In the Creed, we confess that we believe in the Holy Christian Church. The Holy Spirit has called and gathered it, and the Holy Spirit preserves it in a common faith. I returned to apple tree. I planted another apple tree too. A rabbit ate the trunk and branches of rabbit. It even climbed in the tree and ate those branches. And eaten branch can't bear leaves or bear fruits. It has to be cut away and burnt away. The enemy of the soul works as this rabbit. It can do it. Enemy of the souls don't leave believers in peace, even believers are among other believers. Enemy of the soul comes even to the services bench and says, do not believe. This is same old. There is nothing new. I remember how two men who had gave up their faith. Another asked, why you left from there? Another answered, because it was always same old. There was nothing new. So it is. God's word is always has been same. It unchanging. It is same time, old and fresh. It is fresh when Holy Spirit opens it again and again. Enemy of those souls may come even to a sight of the preacher. It is whispering on the shoulder, you are preaching wrong. do you even yourself believe what you are saying? Of or no one is listening to one, that one is looking out from the window, one is using a phone, one is sleeping. Enemy of the soul doesn't give us a rest, but we can trust that God's power is much stronger than enemy of the soul. All our action is led by Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, there we are urged for example. In this word, God reveals us His will, and He reveals the way that leads to the heaven. Word of God exhorts us to keep everything that is good. Keep away from evil. How we in ourselves know what is good. We don't know it always, but for that reason we have unity with other believers, that from there in our home Zion we can hear advices and words of they say us do not do that, and it pays to be obedient for that good voice. God's holy voice of Holy Spirit is heard in wherever a sermon. It pays to go to services. Sometimes when I have asked at home who is going to services, very easily those so small children says that I'm not going, and if I ask a reason, and they say that because a speaker speaks so difficult words, and I have said that most important thing that there in services is always preached, all sins forgiven. The unit, as we are in unity of believers, we get the escorts. We need a support and caretaking of other believers. Dear believer, it pays to believe. We will sing verse 4, 5, and 6 from the same song. Glory. God does not sleep. He observes the deeds of mankind on earth. A psalm of David. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from altar. You discern my going and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from you, Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the dead, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will be guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Isn't it safe to remain under God's care? When God fills our broken hearts with his goodness, a spirit from above comes to dwell in our hearts. A spirit whose power is beyond words. The dry and cold air of heart changes, and stony, withered soil begins to bloom. Then the desert becomes an orchard. This is how it will be until the Spirit is poured on us from high. The desert will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will seem like forest. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness, confidence forever. The gospel promises forgiveness of sins, all the way to peace, freedom, and joy. Dear child of God, it pays to believe. And you, unbelieving friend, you are still called to believe. It is so example thing whenever God calls, just humble. If someone humbles himself, he can believe all sins forgiven, not each other or that or those, but all sins can be believed forgiven. Yeah, if someone, something causes trouble, it's good to speak for the confirmation father. And the end of this my speech, I want to preach the same gospel. It's God's power. It's very marvelous thing. You, dear youth and older, here and wherever this hurt, you can very securely remain to believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoned blood. All sins forgiven. So we can remain to under God's caretake. Dear children of God, it pays to believe. May I also can believe my own sins forgiven. So I want to believe together believers. Lord, bless us, cover us by your wings, turn your face us, we lack your light. Give us your rest, give us your Holy Spirit, which bring us to Jesus. A bright morning, trusting, O Lord, for glory of Jesus, may forever and ever. Amen.